Good morning. There is a place in Jerusalem that is the Old Wall. In ancient times, if you had a city, you would build a large stone wall around it, particularly if it was not located ideally. And that large wall would serve all kinds of purposes. One, it would set the boundaries of the city so whoever was the leader or ruler or governor or whatever it might be would know the bounds. But also it was to keep the people who were within the city safe and those who were without the city, the barbarians and others, away. It was both for defense but also for boundary. And on one particular wall, you can see the ancient gate that is the Gate of David. That's the gate where it was said that Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem on his donkey. To enter Jerusalem in that way would be to proclaim yourself as king or as leader. He didn't come in on a horse or on a camel or something else, but on a donkey, which was usually reserved in that time for the king to be lauded on. To come into a procession with palms and with branches and to be praised as his followers, to see him as leader, was key. If you were to go to that gate today, you could not pass through because giant pieces of limestone and mortar have been placed in the gateway. In fact, it would be difficult even to walk up to the gate because right before the gate, there are thousands upon thousands of gravesides. In the challenges between the religions of the world, there is a belief that if you remember, there's a little tradition, if you ever go to visit a grave, you know you're not supposed to walk on the grave, correct? That's an old tradition. You may not know that, but usually both out of respect, but also there is a saying that you just simply shouldn't. It has religious underpinnings. And so to place all these graves before the city entrance or the old city of David would make it impossible for a rabbi or a holy person to re-enter or to walk on that ground. And also to place great limestones would make it difficult. Because as the scripture tells us, when Jesus is to come back, he is to re-enter Jerusalem again through that same gate. And so if you prevent that, then there's no way he can come back, correct? Now this was done by a religion that doesn't necessarily believe in Jesus, but I think it's insurance. It's sort of interesting, isn't it? But if you were to be there, you can see that ancient place, you can see the pathway, you can see that same riverbed that's still there that Jesus would have walked along, that his followers would have come into that city. But what does Jesus come to do but to offer an act of love? His followers thought he was coming to rule, to conquer, to change everything, to rebel. And yet, what in a few days would happen would be he would be crucified and his followers would dissipate and they would be distraught and lost. Because the way he shows is not a way of conquering, but is a way of love through suffering. Jesus suffers on the cross to love us, to offer that sacrifice. In a few moments, we're going to read the Passion Gospel. And I'd kind of like it to stand alone. In other words, for us to have time to read it and to reflect on that particular reading. And when we read it, we'll hear Jesus offer to God to let the cup pass. And yet he perseveres through that love. When did you first come to faith? When did you first experience God? Or feel God, or know God? Was it in a joyous time or a time of suffering? Were you young or were you old? Or maybe you haven't yet found that presence. But when we find that faith, we might experience the love of God, whether it's through our heart or mind. We might find something joyful and meaningful and real. Think of those people around you who've offered acts of love to you. Maybe a mother who sacrificed and cared for you through all of her life. Or a father who toils at the work to provide. A partner who wipes the tears of one who is dying. A friend who walks along and prays with someone through a difficult time. A person who shares the plentiness of their life, feeding others. Another who gives drink to those who are thirsty. A teacher who toils and teaches students and empowers them in the life that they might have before them. A business person who creates job after job that others might sustain themselves. A farmer who toils the soil. A gardener who grows the vegetables. A lawyer who strives for justice. A professor who thinks that the world might know. Even an accountant who calculates. Sorry, wrong. A musician who plays beautiful music that elevates our souls. All acts of love. And there's so many more that I could keep going on and listing. But acts of love that pale in comparison to the act of love that Christ offers us on the cross. As we go forth from this day, we enter a holy season for Christians of walking through Holy Week. It's a touchstone for us to come and to remember, to tell the story again, to recall the essence of our faith in the person of Jesus Christ, to recall his love for us and the sacrifice that he made, and to remember the resurrection as we celebrate Easter in just a few days. So as you go through this journey, however you walk it, recall that moment when you came to faith. Recall that moment of how God loves you. And be empowered to love. We don't celebrate Pilate. We don't celebrate Caesar. We don't gather week after week proclaiming conquering. We gather to proclaim love. So love. So love. Amen.